cities and municipalities.
Okay. All right, I'm going to, excuse me. Tap him on the shoulder. I'm going to call the meeting to order. Thank you. Okay. Is this thing being recorded at home or whatever? Okay. All right. So I'm going to read these instructions first. Good evening. Welcome to the meeting of the Board of Neighborhood Commissioners. Today is Tuesday, May the 7th. And we are commencing the meeting at 6:38. If you wish to become more involved, and those of you who are listening, if you wish to become more involved in the neighborhood council system and are not on our mailing list, please sign up at the table on the sign-in kiosk, or you can also sign up on your phone by texting commission to 555-888. During the meeting tonight, we will discuss the items listed on the meeting agenda in numerical order, unless I receive a request from a board member to take an item out of order. Copies of the agenda and related documents are available at this meeting in the back. If any board member has a conflict of interest at the time an agenda item is announced for discussion, the board member should identify the general nature of the conflict, indicate that he or she is recusing him or herself from participating in the matter, and leave the room during the duration of the discussion of the item. Before we make a decision on any item, members of the public will have an opportunity to provide comments on the item under consideration. Okay. Members of the public who wish to speak on multiple agenda items shall be allowed to speak for a total of 5 minutes per meeting, and may allocate time in 1 minute in increments per item. When the agenda item is called, or they may speak during the multiple agenda item comment period for 5 minutes on multiple agenda items. If you have general comment on an item that is not listed on the agenda, you may provide your comment during the public comments portion of the meeting. Public comments should be directed to the board rather than to the individuals. Please understand there are applicable laws that limit the actions we may take during tonight's meeting. Thus, we may be legally prohibited from acting on a concern that you have expressed. However, your concern may become the topic of discussion at a future board meeting after we have had the chance to list the item on the agenda. Should you wish to comment at this meeting, please fill out an electronic speaker request on the speaker card kiosk for each agenda item you wish to address so that you may be heard. You will be called when it is your turn to speak. Please be sure to place the number of the agenda item you wish to speak about on the speaker request form. Speaker requests may be filled out using the speaker card kiosk located on the table or by texting commission to 555-888 or via website at empowerla.org, commission policies and meetings. If you intend to speak on any item, you must submit your electronic speaker request prior to the start of the meeting or prior to the call of that item. When a person is speaking, they are entitled to courtesy and respect. Please refrain from any discussion in the room. If you wish to chat, please take that discussion outside while our meeting is in session. We treat one another with respect. That means we act with civility and decorum. Competing viewpoints may be articulated without the need for inappropriate or uncivil actions. Last but not least, please switch your cell phone ringers to vibrate or silent. And thank you very much, and we will now take the roll.
Commissioner Atkinson?
Here.
Commissioner Littman?
Here.
Commissioner Schaefer?
Here.
Commissioner Derekidos? Absent. Commissioner Webby? Absent. Commissioner Regalado?
Here.
Commissioner Ramirez? Absent. We have quorum.
Thank you very much. Item three on the agenda is the approval of the minutes of the regular meeting from April 15th, 2019. Any corrections or amendments or changes, or I will take a motion to accept the minutes.
There was a correction. Basically, the minutes on the, that was posted on the website and also sent out, it had agenda instead of minutes on it, so I corrected that, and then I put it on here so okay, that.
So these are corrected?
Yeah, these are corrected now, but that was the draft. Right. So just
anything
to.
Anything else on the minutes? Okay, I'll take a motion to accept the minutes.
So move.
All right, it's been moved by.
Second.
It's been moved by Commissioner Schaefer and seconded by Commissioner Lippman to accept the minutes. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Those are quiet ayes, but I'm assuming it's unanimous. Okay. Thank you. Item number four is, are there any community impact statements that we have received?
Not today.
Nope. Okay, so number four is done. We have received no community impact statements that we have to take action on. Number five is a multiple agenda item. Does anyone want to speak on multiple agenda items, or are you just here for one item? Okay. Okay. So that's item number five. Number six are verbal updates from representatives from the city, and we don't have that either, so we will move on to item number seven. Once again, a little thin in the audience tonight. So number seven says discussion with various West Los Angeles area neighborhood councils, but I don't see any West Los Angeles area neighborhood councils here for input at this point in time. Unless they've sent something in writing. No? Okay. We're breezing through this. Number eight, verbal updates from representatives of the budget advocates. Any news? I know that by the way, speaking of budget advocates, I got a information today from the budget advocates that they are having their budget advocate day at City Council June
29th.
I know it's the end of June because 2 days later I'm going on vacation.
29th.
June the 29th. So, and then of course I think they also choose their new budget advocates, don't they, for the year? So it's the general meeting in the morning and then they break into to their geographic areas.
Actually, they just changed their bylaws to extend their terms another year.
So there's not going to be any elections or anything at all?
Only for those areas where there's vacancies.
But
they'd still like commissioners to be there to do motions and things like that.
Oh, okay. So I hope we attend. It's kind of interesting, and I did tell them I would bring greetings on behalf of the commission.
Madam President, could I just comment on that briefly?
Say that again, Mike.
In terms of the budget advocates, from my understanding, is that they're going to vote on their possible extensions at the budget day. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So they haven't made it official yet?
Not official yet. They tabled that item. So.
All right. Okay. Well, that'll probably be an interesting discussion. Thank you for that. Okay. Okay, so that is, so we're now on to number nine, which is general public comments on non-agenda items. Are you all here on non-agenda items or on an agenda item? Agenda, okay. So we don't have any comments for that. Okay, that's number nine. Well, and we are now down to item number 10. The General Manager's Report. Mr. Fong.
Thank you, Madam President, and good afternoon and good evening, members of the Commission and members of the public. Mike Fong, Director of Policy and Government Relations for the Department of Neighborhood Empowerment. Just a few quick updates on behalf of General Manager Gracie Liu. The budget hearings are currently being held in City Council. The Department of Neighborhood Empowerment / Empower LA presented yesterday at the Budget and Finance Committee meeting, and there are a number of report backs requested. So the department is working on that, including what would be the ideal staffing level and staffing support, what additional resources we need for outreach, and a few other items.
City Clerk also presented as well, and they are now handling the translation portion of Neighbor Council meetings. As you heard from Madam President Atkinson, the budget day is on June 29th, so our department's collaborating with the Neighbor Council budget advocates on that. Thank you so much to John Darnell and Julian for their work and efforts in working with the budget advocates on the upcoming budget day. Thirdly, there'll be a presentation in City Council on for Aging Month, and that's going to be on Wednesday, May 15th. Everyone's invited for that presentation if you're available.
What's that for?
The Older Americans Month is on the month of May, and Councilmember Paul Koretz will be doing a council resolution in honor of Older Americans Month, and we invite all our Neighbor Council aging liaisons who are promoting healthy aging to join us that day for the presentation. Lastly, the department also is hiring a new project coordinator, and we thank Mary for her great leadership and efforts. So we're putting that in process currently. And lastly, as you may have heard, General Manager Gracie Liu has accepted an opportunity with the personnel department, and we greatly appreciate and thank her for all her many years of leadership and efforts with the Department of Neighbor Empowerment. She's devoted over 11 years of her career to the department and working with the Neighbor Councils and promoting the most robust civic engagement system in the country. So we congratulate Gracie and wish her well on her new endeavors at the personnel department. And with that, we'll entertain any questions.
May I?
Commissioner Schaefer?
Yes. And this will apply to, at the current time, items 11 and 12 on this agenda, and other items that may appear on future agendas where we're discussing the possible appointment of ad hoc committees to formulate policy. I'm wondering if the department in the GM report could please publicize those things so that we can get some comments coming in rather than just some of us trying to speak to those who are only at the Alliance meetings, that they have the ability to, you know, contact us, send email, et cetera, et cetera.
Absolutely.
It would really be a help.
Thank you, Mr. Schaefer. Well, it's great to see you at the LANC meeting the other day. We'll make sure to put it in our newsletter for this Friday. So we'll drop something up for this Friday's newsletter to let Neighbor Council leaders and stakeholders know about the items 11 and 12 that are ongoing. We also did include a note in the monthly profile regarding to kind of see comment and feedback on additional mandated leadership and conflict resolution trainings. Also want to give much appreciation and thanks to Sammy Park, Director of Field Operations, who's doing an amazing round of Leadership Academy workshops throughout the city. We had one yesterday in Boyle Heights that Sammy led. There'll be another one this coming Saturday in the Arroyo Seco Neighbor Council area in Highland Park. And they'll be going around the city, and Semi and team have placed these notices also in our monthly profile. But we'll do additional outreach, and thank you so much, Mr. Schaefer, for that comment.
Thank you.
Mr. Regalado?
Okay, so this is my first go-around on this particular item. So I'm wondering, with the with Gracie moving, is there a role for the commission at all in the any upcoming festivities of choosing a new or whatever?
Festivities?
Lack of a better term, I'm sorry. That's not the way I meant it, but I certainly would like to, you know if there is a process for commissioners.
Festivities. That's a great question, Mr. Regalado. Thank you, Commissioner Regalado. I believe this is a decision up to the mayor, so I believe they'll probably, I'm not speaking for them, but I assume that they'll be seeking commission input, whether it's through Commissioner Atkinson, through the board. I believe, not speaking for them, but I assume that they would do additional outreach and really try to seek the Neighbor Council perspective.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I have a question. Let me get my notes here. I keep getting emails, so I have to ask the general manager that. Who handles, I'm assuming it's the city clerk, When we have conflicts with election procedures in different areas, I was looking at my email today, and there was some question about the site for the West LA South Neighborhood Council where their election was going to be held, and also the Studio City Neighborhood Council had a question about the rules that were being passed out about who can vote and who can't vote and what information you have to bring with you. And I was just wondering, those conflicts or those complaints are handled by the city clerk's office or the attorney?
Yes, if you don't mind, at least you're in city attorney, I could answer that. The city clerk's office and the elections, neighborhood council elections division, take those issues and then in consultation at times with my office, they make decisions on.
Because I get the impression we keep getting the emails at Dunn and then the commissioners get it, and we don't really have the jurisdiction. It's handled somewhere else. And I just want to be sure, do these people know where they're supposed to complain about their, you know, elections, and that is city clerk, city attorney, that's where you go?
Oftentimes they CC everybody, but most times I'm seeing it get to the city clerk. But if you're hearing that people are confused, then I could pass it on to the city clerk, or maybe okay. Dunn could put something else in a newsletter.
Okay. Same here. This is Mike. So,
some people just complain. I mean, I recognize some of the names are going to complain anyway. Just doesn't make a difference what the issue is. So some of those folks, I don't usually answer the emails back if they're not, you know, they're not in my area, if they're kind of real, just for a little minute area, and that doesn't have anything to do with neighborhood councils in general. I let the neighborhood council in that area, I let the area folks take care of their own.
But. Absolutely. Thank you, Madam President. And the city clerk's office has been doing. Chris Garcia and Sophia, they're very responsive. They've been, so any issues that come up, they have been okay. responding to folks.
All right.
Thank you.
That's what I figured. Okay. Any other questions for the general manager?
Is there any, Commissioner Levin, is there any sort of timeline on hiring a new general manager or?
Thank you, Vice Chair Lipman. I believe the position will be posted sometime next week, and it'll be open for, most city positions are open for at least 2 weeks. This might be open a little bit longer, and I believe the interviews may happen in early to mid-June, and hopefully, I believe the mayor's office is open for a transition by hopefully early July.
Wow, okay. Are they looking to recruit somebody inside the city or outside or around the world? Or
I think as with any position, I think they want to seek the folks from bringing a lot of enthusiasm and engagement and really a lot of robust ideas, so I believe it's a open nationwide search. I think that's a question for the mayor's office.
Can we keep Lillian?
Lillian's amazing.
Okay. She doesn't go with Gracie, I hope.
Gracie doesn't take anybody with her, does she? It's a question.
I guess we should at some point we should do some sort of celebration of Gracie. Mm-hmm.
I was just reading today. She said she was going to be around for the next several months.
Leaving the city, so.
Well, she's not leaving the city, but she's not actually leaving the job for the several months.
Right, right.
So we can do it closer to the.
Okay.
Closer to when she leaves. And I agree, we should do something. All right. Any other questions for the.
Yeah, I have a follow-up question. Is it possible that perhaps maybe we could see some type of timeline as to the process for the choosing of a new general manager? Is that possible?
Thank you, Commissioner Regalado. I will bring up these concerns with the mayor's office related to the Gracie and should relate to the mayor's office as well, and we'll come up with a timeline and time frame, I believe, to give folks a better understanding as to what the transition frame is.
Great, thank you.
We have to ask the mayor's office because that's they kind of
make
run
the decision,
they
so,
kind of
yes.
run the show as far as taking the time to confirm.
I'm just
something.
Thinking that perhaps maybe if there is something that's available, we can see it.
Thank you so much. And just a quick update: I just been notified that actually the position has been posted. It's on the personnel website, and the position is open until May 23rd.
Man, I think Simi's already applying for a look.
This is all very recent. Obviously, the announcement only came out on Friday, so we're now here on the Tuesday. But we'll definitely keep everybody apprised.
Well, it's good. They're prioritizing it.
Absolutely, yes.
Did you say it's open until the 23rd?
Till May 23rd, yes.
It open until or it's going to
the
open?
The position is currently open. It's open now, and the position, folks can submit their applications no later than May 23rd, 2019.
All right.
I know. We had a report from the city clerk last meeting about the elections, but now we're sort of in the thick of it. We had Northeast this past weekend, right? We have another one this coming weekend.
There's no elections this coming weekend, but there is an election, I believe, next week.
Okay. Are we seeing, do we have any preliminary statistics on that? Or?
We do. We can we're going to get the numbers from the city clerk's office and send them over to the commission.
Okay. Do we see any bump from the Hal Eisner?
Oh, thank you so much, Commissioner Lipman, for doing the Hal Eisner segment. I don't know if anybody's seen it yet. We'll send it out to everybody if they haven't seen it yet. But Gracie put it in her newsletter last week, and Commissioner Lipman and General Manager Gracie Liu did an amazing job talking about the neighborhood council system, and it was an 8-minute clip or 9-minute clip on Channel 11. So thank you for all your leadership and efforts in getting word out about the upcoming neighborhood council elections and how stakeholders can get involved with their respective neighborhood councils. So that only came out last week, but we had the neighborhood council elections in the Northeast Valley. I dropped by the Selmar one. There was a lot of folks there. I know Sammy was at a number of them, and the team has been making the rounds and supporting the city clerk's office on the neighborhood council elections.
Anything else? All right. Thank you very much, Mr. Fong.
Thank you.
Item number 11 is a discussion of possible regarding training of neighborhood council board members. Discussion may include creating policies for mandated leadership and conflict resolution. For board members and candidates, it may also include requests to Department of Neighborhood Empowerment for arrangement of standardized training or it's already outlined by the administrative code that training should be done. I think we had discussed this in number 11 and also number 12, both, and so I guess we should take one item at a time. But I was moving away from establishing an ad hoc committee first before we got input from the neighborhood councils. And that's why Mr. Schaefer asked you to ask the general manager to put it on the website that we're looking at certain issues. And we want to get some input before we start forming ad hoc committees and putting the rules in place and listening to neighborhood councils say they weren't confided.
Sure.
Or had a chance to weigh in. So we want to just put the issue out that we are concerned about conflict resolution, that we are concerned about leadership training, and that we are concerned that somewhere in the bylaws we talk about how you deal with the conflicts on the board. So number 11 is we'll keep putting it on the agenda and we'll keep asking for public comment to discuss the issue for a while and before we decide to actually establish an ad hoc committee. We want to get input first. I'm just trying to bring the computer up, you know. I'm computer challenged. Okay. So that's item number 11. Was there any additions to item number 11? That's the one on leadership development and mandated conflict resolution. We want to get some ideas first before we start telling neighborhood councils what they need to do. They need to tell us what they need to do. So, anyway, that's where we are, but I'm still really committed to it, but I agreed with some of the discussion that I thought we could do an outline and let neighborhood councils react to it, but maybe I think it is better and more open and more transparent to put the idea out there, leave it alone, and let the neighborhood councils input to us what they think. And I'm sure that there are some ideas out there on how to do conflict resolution and leadership training. Tonight, Simi brought, just for information purposes, y'all, or did everybody get one, or did I just get one? Anyway, it's a booklet, and I think there's probably some things that probably need to be added, but it says 10 things to know as a neighborhood council board member, and they're going to institute training for new folks that come in, new board members, new board members, and past board members, or you know, that have re-upped or been re-elected, and it's a leadership training course or day where folks actually come in and do exercises about developing their neighborhood councils and coming up with ideas and plans, and so forth. And it's really for after the election. And of course, I still have concern, and that's what some of the discussion is going to be about with neighborhood councils, that folks probably need to know more about neighborhood councils before they run and decide they're going to run for office, that they need to know what the responsibilities are. But this is after they are elected. And again, it's volunteer. So there's going to be plenty of folks who don't think they need it.
This is really cute. This is Commissioner Lippman. It says, Anna, they do a role play, and then it's Anna Power Trip,
yes.
Preston Time, Teresa Pothole, yeah. Alex Skept, and Mary Quite Contrary. Yeah.
As I've mentioned before, I do leadership training at the University of Southern California for Women, and we do a lot of role playing and projects and self assessments. There's a self assessment thing in here. But of course, it's a longer program, and so we really talk about, and where I see the problem with neighborhood councils is the fact that they kind of come in and they don't quite get along with each other or understand each other. So we spend time in our leadership development in the program that I work with at USC. We do a lot of leadership assessment. And before they even do any exercises, some, you know, personal assessments, because there's different types of leaders, upfront leaders, behind-the-scene leaders, you know, volunteer leaders, creative leaders. So so I'm a little bit concerned, but I think this is a good start. I liked the book, and I liked the one that they did with women, too. I liked that booklet. So So that's something to look at when we look at this whole spectrum of leadership development. And is there something in there about conflict resolution? You might need a whole book on conflict resolution, but we might need something on. I'm sorry. Thank you, Simi. We might need something on conflict resolution, because that seems to be a big issue.
Yeah, so within our department, Semi Park from Department of Neighborhood Empowerment, we have started developing curriculum to address some of that. What we want to do is frame it within the context of communication and how you're communicating and your communication style and behavior may create conflict or attribute to that. So we will look in. We will definitely develop that. And then also during our workshops, we ask all of our attendees to fill out an evaluation survey. And I tell them, be honest, let us know what your needs are. And so we'll be taking that back as well.
And I think, didn't the city attorney say they wanted to add something? You've seen this book, right, Elise? You've seen this book? Or you were thinking there was some items or something you thought needed to be included? Were there?
Elise Rudin, city attorney. The thing is, I have found it helpful if there's a link or something on the DUM website, and there may already be, but even if there's a hard copy, one per council given, that has the bonk rules, that has the admin code, obviously the plan and the updated version soon to be, hopefully, and the charter, so that they can actually see how all of this came about and refer to it. We would also probably, in our training, we've discussed maybe giving some Brown Act, giving a copy of the Brown Act, giving a copy of the government code that covers Public Records Act, so that they can see the laws for themselves when we give the advice. I don't know how that would take place, but sometimes having everything in one or two books might be helpful, even if it's just one per council, and I know that still means 99 of them.
So just, you know, something to consider, just to bring it up a little bit. All right, Mr. Schaefer?
Yeah, Commissioner Schaefer, a couple of quick comments. You know, sort of like the big white book that came out years and years ago that we used to get.
Oh, the thick one.
I think I've got three copies of that. I wanted to point out to the commissioners that if you look at Ms. Park's April 24th email that went out to all of us, was an invitation. There's a link there to the dates of these, and there was a question of whether or not you'd like to be on any of the panels. Unfortunately, so many have been on dates that I've had other things, but I'm going to check a few off and get them out. I'm really glad to see this is, for me, sort of a back to the future, because years ago we used to have these on Saturday mornings at some neighborhood council, and they'd get over 100 people at these events and have training sessions, educational sessions, I like to refer to them as. And this looks like it's an effort to get back to this. I see that they've expanded it so that it's evenings and things like that. I even saw one on a Sunday morning. Yeah, in West LA. Mm-hmm. So I may try and make that one. But I think it's good. I would point out I'm still a little discouraged to see that the plan as inside of that shows amended as of 2013. The last amendment to that particular copy of the plan as 2013. The plan's been amended a number of times since 2013.
Good catch, thank you.
And those amendments aren't in those copies. They really should be. So there we go. I'm not sure how many of you here were with neighborhood councils. Well, you were with them, weren't you, Ray, when we got those big white notebooks? No, okay. Every board member got those big white notebooks, and they were filled with all kinds of good information. So, but I think it's a great effort, and I think it's something that should continue, and I think it's very, very valuable what they're doing. Thank you.
Yeah, and I will make sure we work with our team to email and then also make sure the latest plan is included for those who attended and then moving forward as well.
Thank you. For the record, just Commissioner Vol Ramirez has just arrived. Thank you. Okay, item number... That was 11. Item number 12 is the same issue, discussion and possible motion regarding whether to, you know, appoint an ad hoc committee to consider policy establishing a uniform process for the censure and removal of neighborhood council board members. Reasons for establishing a policy would include openness, fairness, a proper degree of... a proper degree of I'm sorry, I just put my glasses on. For the censure and removal of neighborhood council board members, reasons for establishing a policy would include openness, fairness, a proper degree of procedural due process, and provide consistent guidelines to neighborhood councils when enforcing provisions of their bylaws and other applicable policies regarding proper conduct of board members. And again, this is the same issue on censoring board members. Again, we want to get input from neighborhood councils before we form an ad hoc committee to say what the rules should be. We're going to, you know, put it up, have it on the website, put it on our meeting agendas for each month and for a while, start taking input from neighborhood councils and sending it, obviously, to the alliances and getting it out as much as possible so that we can get some ideas on what folks feel about censoring their board, censoring their board members for bad behavior and how should that be dealt with. Some bylaws may cover the issue now, some don't. So we want to see what the best practices are regarding that. And so it goes right along with leadership development, conflict resolution, and censoring the board members. It's all kind of together. So we'll start just starting to publicize that. Okay.
Excuse me, Commissioner, could the record reflect that I think we've been joined by one other? Oh, you did that already? I apologize. I didn't hear that. Sorry.
Quick comment?
Uh-huh. Sure, Mr. Schaefer.
I did announce these two items as well as our revised minutes posting at the LANC, and even though there's no longer a thing on the VANC agenda for commission report, I usually have the opportunity to stick my nose in, and I will do that again this Thursday and encourage everybody that if they want to comment on these items to do so.
I have a question. Depending on how long we take to do this, were we thinking about a timeline on how long we might want to put this out to the public to get some input on what they think about all of these issues? Is it something that can wait till September when we do our Congress at City Hall, or do we want to kind of come to a conclusion before then? I guess is my question.
I mean, good question. I guess what I'm trying to, I think it's challenging to get input from. This is Commissioner Lippman. I think it's an issue. How do I phrase this? I think we really need to put out a proposal for neighborhood councils to comment on. Like, until they can see what we're proposing as a policy, it's very hard for them. It doesn't engender a lot of people coming out. We already have two neighborhood council presidents here, a third member who's currently on a neighborhood council. I mean, we have neighborhood council leadership here. We need to develop a proposal for input rather than just saying we're going to have an ad hoc committee to talk about this. Because an ad hoc committee, I mean, you know, people came to us a couple weeks ago and said, well, we don't like that you work as an ad hoc committee. Great, that was their feedback, but like, there's not really a proposal on the table for them to give us feedback on. So I think we really need to move this forward quicker.
But isn't the feedback, isn't establishing the problem give them opportunity for feedback? So if we say, look, there have been complaints on complaints upon top of complaints regarding conflict resolution and meetings are disruptive. We've had many presidents who say that. We've had members, stakeholders who come and say that. We have members who say that, how do you censor your, you know, board president or the board for being rude or harassing? I mean, laying out the problem, getting the input, and then maybe writing up an outline for people to.
Well, then at the very least, we need, you know, kind of a whereas statement, you know, like a resolution that says, whereas, you know, these things have happened, and there's a number of things that have happened. I mean, our code of conduct policy was precipitated by a issue in the West Valley that led to a council motion and led to a whole process by which we established a code of conduct. Mm-hmm. So there are, you know, if we're looking at an actual, like, policy, there are a number of whereas clauses in that policy that we could begin to write to outline what the problem is, to build our argument in a sense. We may not have the exact solution, but at least we have to put something out there so that people can say, oh, yeah, that sounds about right, or no, that's terribly off base. We don't have anything right now, really. Just kind of conversation here at the board.
Comment?
I also have a comment.
Okay. Mr. Regalado?
Okay. Commissioner Regalado. One of the things that I seem to hear often especially when we start putting a possible policy out, is people are going to react, and we then start looking for adjustments or ways to remediate the issue. And I think what I've heard on many occasions is that perhaps maybe we should kind of give the opportunity for the neighborhood councils to weigh in as to whether they feel it's an important issue to consider or not. I'm going to tell you, this one, I've heard both sides of the story from my area, and they are just as passionate for it, for a censure rule, and those will feel that it's not there. But if we at least give the opportunity for someone to, for them to voice their opinion, we can hear exactly what it is that they are asking for, and then you can come up with perhaps some type of language that reflects what was heard. I'm not sure that coming up with language so that then we can get comment is probably the best opportunity to gain the participation of other neighborhood councils. I truly believe that it might be worth taking a little time, a little patience to find out what it is that is being asked of us or asked at all for us to act and move from that point forward. Thank you.
Commissioner Atkinson, I tend to agree with Commissioner Regalado. I think when I was talking about putting it out there, I didn't want to put an outline of work, but I think a statement is correct. I mean, I think there should be a formal statement that says, you know, that these are the issues that have come before us, and we want to, you know, we want to receive input. I don't want to put out I don't want to put out a proposal for, you know, for what we do. I'm just saying state the cause, state the problem, and let folks react to it and give them some time to react, you know, a few meetings to react. And I'm sure we'll get input. And it's like Commissioner Regalado says, some folks, you know, they want to see something, and some folks think it's going to be all right. And I had an interesting experience, though, from actually, and I cannot think of the neighborhood council gentleman's name, but it's out from the south in the South Bay area, and he didn't like the idea of us having some strict, didn't like the idea of a strict kind of conflict resolution and how to get rid of a board member, except when he sent me an email letter later. That's exactly what he said, you know, a way to deal, you know, a way to deal with it. And I thought, that's interesting. I guess, you know, just saying it didn't sound right, but when he thought about it, then he emails me with some ideas on how you deal with conflict resolution.
Great.
He didn't think there was conflict resolution when we actually had a meeting down in South Bay, but when he thought about it, I guess it changed his mind. So that's why we have to kind of put it out there for a while, and but we can do a statement. The statement is fine, but not a plan.
Not a position.
Comment?
Not a plan yet. Commissioner Schaefer.
Yeah, Commissioner Schaefer. The reason that I brought this up some months ago is the hour-long discussion I had at the LANC with regards to people voicing their opinion that, once we've formulated a policy, it's very, they think it's very difficult to get us to change anything, even though I think we have changed quite often. But I do like the idea of putting something out there in front of them saying, hi, based on these type of complaints, based on this or based on that, this is what we're thinking we should be doing. What do you think of that? And I do know the two sides of the argument from the harbor area, because I know the people that make the two sides. And yes, they are very passionate. But yes, I've heard both sides complain about conduct of others and that something should be done about it. So I think that's it's a good idea to get together some things like, maybe not whereases, but, you know, some of the stuff where we've received problems and complaints, because I've just recently heard some more from up in the North Valley area, you know, that's going on that I didn't know about. So,
Commissioner Vollmer's?
Commissioner Vollmer's, is it possible to ask the department to assist us with this for, or, because there are neighbor councils that already have a censure process in place. So could we have a tally from the department to see which neighbor councils has it in place and those that do not have it in place, and possibly do a comparison and see where it could or where it has potentially benefited the board and the community, and where we could help fill in the gaps or bridge the gaps if there are any. Because anytime we make a proposal, neighborhood councils feel like we're taking their uniqueness or their identity away from them. And I don't want it to appear that way, but I would like us to feel as a board that we are hearing them and making a suggestion based on what is existing and how to move along the process should anybody have these discrepancies or dialogue that doesn't come to a solution or resolution.
Yeah. Commissioner Atkinson, I agree. And probably in letting the public or the neighborhood councils know what we're thinking, we could actually say that we need to know the best practices. We need to know what's happening on the current bylaws. Some bylaws, you know, answer the issue of conflict resolution and board censorship, but some don't. So we need to just find out who's doing what. And about, and that would be one of the inputs that we want from the neighborhood councils. I think it would be a good one to get from the neighborhood councils, so we agree to that. And so we'll write up something. I'll work on something, and, you know, I'm a press writer. I'm not really a narrative, but I'll work on something, and I know Mr. Schaefer could work on something. And maybe we could come up with something in writing that asks the questions that we want answered, you know, that we want to participate, and I'll try to work on it within the week or so.
Careful comment by Commissioner Schaefer. My problem is I write like a lawyer, which also isn't always too inviting, but I do have somebody that I live with who could probably edit it for me and make it a lot softer.
So you already have it written?
No. I'm just saying when I'm invited to write something, I tend to write like a lawyer. That's my problem.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. But we can meld it all together. So anyway, actually, Mr. Lippman writes pretty good too. At least he organizes well. So we could put a, actually. Every commissioner could actually put some of the ideas on what they would like to see the neighborhood councils answer. You know, your idea, Commissioner Vollmer's, and Mr. Regalado, if you want to just send them to me and let me put a little narrative together on what we might want to put on the website, that would be helpful if we could do that, if we all add what we would like to see, because as a press person, I'm good at that. I'm good at assimilating everybody else's stuff. So if you send it to me, I can organize it into what we want to ask the neighborhood councils to do. Okay. Mr. Regalado?
Yeah, I'd like to maybe at this particular point in the process maybe avoid linking this censure policy with conflict resolution, only because I think there may be some thinking that the conflict, you're resolving the conflict by getting rid of somebody.
No, so I want.
So I would like to separate the two.
It's separate on the agenda, so we'll have to keep it separate in what we're asking. I'm just saying, we just started out by saying that we want input from everybody on everything.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't put it in one. I don't think I would put it in one big document because even on the agenda, they're separate. So I would keep it.
And the only reason why I'm saying that is because I during the course of this conversation around this ad hoc issue, I've heard the term conflict resolution used pretty
often. So do you think that we should spend time on one issue, not solve it, because you never solve it. spend one time maybe just talking about leadership development and conflict resolution by itself. Don't worry about censorship at this point in time, so that is not related.
No, actually, I think they are separate issues. You know, they are distinctly separate issues. You know, you're talking about training and leadership development that enhances the skill sets of neighborhood council members. When we're talking about an ad hoc committee or talking about censure and removal, that is kind of when mediation fails or does not work, the next tool is we're going to kick you out. Mm-hmm. And I think they shouldn't be mixed, because the conflict resolution, leadership development, all these different tools are things that that you would be using as, you know, almost on a daily basis, or at least on a basis when you're dealing with your neighborhood councils. And I say this from the perspective of I am the countywide dispute resolution. I look at countywide dispute resolution. That's one of my programs. And one of my contract agencies is the city attorney's office. And they are very capable of training people in utilizing, you know, dispute resolution skill sets, you know, to help establish that. So that's a training. Those are skills that people can acquire, can develop. But when you start putting it down, you know, when you start perhaps thinking that censure, and there will be people who think that that's a method of dispute resolution. We want to make sure that there is a separation of terms, separation of skills, a separation of actions in this whole thing, because it gets kind of ugly out there when people are angry with each other, and by that point, sometimes mediation just isn't in the mix any longer. They should have approached that earlier on when things started to bubble up. So that's kind of my.
I still need to get. Maybe it's just because I'm tired. Maybe I need a little bit more clarity on what's separate, on separating the issue. So when we talk about censorship or removal, are you saying you sort of go through conflict resolution, that censorship and removal is like when you just can't solve the problem anymore, and you have to remove somebody from the board, or you have to take it to a further level?
Censure and removal is a tool.
Yeah.
Okay. No, I take it back. Is an action. Conflict resolution, mediation is a tool.
That's
completely separate.
Okay. I can understand that. Okay.
If I may, Mr. Schaefer. Yeah, and the different one of the big differences to me, and why I think they are separate, is that conflict resolution takes an agreement by two parties, and if one of the two parties just refuses to engage in that type of resolution, then you have something that you say, okay, we tried. Now we're moving on to a new area. Yeah. And I think censure.
Mr. Rigolato, here's my issue. So the city attorney has ways of dealing with conflict resolution, mm-hmm. and you work with them. But you get to a neighborhood council, and they're still conflicting with each other. Maybe they're not paying attention to what they went through as far as resolution with the city attorney's office. And I guess, how do you deal with that? What's the next step? And should it be written down? If there's good conflict resolution and the city attorney helps, should it somehow be in the bylaws that, well, you know, your first step is to deal with the city attorney and go through conflict resolution and mediation? I mean, what do you put... How do you get everybody on the right track, I guess, is my question.
So this is in my mind how I would see the issue of dealing with conflict. First of all, you give everyone the tools to be able to avoid the conflict by being able to be good listeners, be good
okay.
communicators,
I agree with that.
Understand how to de-escalate, you know, hot issues and things okay. like that. Then, you know, they're taught how to do this, you know.
Okay.
And then, in turn, if
so
there
that's
is,
something
if there,
you even do before a conflict arises.
That's
I mean,
part of the training.
Part of the training.
That's part of the training.
Yeah.
You know how
okay.
how to de-escalate, how
okay.
to be good listeners, how to you know be a
okay. So we need a
neutral third party. That's a training. If
so,
if
we need
it
to
does,
we need to talk about de-escalation more in here.
And if there still seems to be conflict between two board members, between a board member and say a community member. And it doesn't de-escalate, then I think you can go toward, you look for some
okay.
organization, such as the city attorney's
okay.
office, to help mediate that conflict.
Okay.
And,
I understand that.
But when a person's behavior, and this is now separate, I'm not even talking about conflict resolution, when someone's behavior is deemed inappropriate in a neighborhood council setting, then is when you may want to consider something that censures them or removes them if, in fact, there is a rule or some kind of process
so
to do
where,
that.
So that's where Vo Ramirez's question is that some neighborhood councils might have a way of dealing with their conflict, so we need to find out what that is that works. We need to find out what works.
Well,
I'm sorry, Elise from City Attorney. I see a lot of the issues come because a lot of the bylaws say to contact City Attorney before there's censor or removal. But I think that also the rules could serve to be protective of the person who the board's trying to remove or censor as well.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it works both ways. And we also have to consider sometimes acting in a way that it increases liability for the city as well. So it's in these contexts that perhaps having some guidelines would be instructive to ensure some due process for the people who are being targeted or not targeted, but who are the subject matter of the, you know, censor removal, and in addition, to also protect the board members and the city who are trying to do it in a way so that there's no liability concerns as well.
Right. So I mean,
that is really the issue. It's not to take away the independence. It's to, you know, just make sure that the process is going to be fair and people understand how it's done.
So I agree with that, and it's just the discussion we're having here tonight proves to me, I mean, to me, that the discussion we're having that I'm trying to understand, I think shows that we need to get input from neighborhood councils on what they feel is enforceable or what we can do to solve some of these issues. One of a problem that I, an issue that I ran into when I went out to the Valley Alliance for whichever event I went out to the Valley Alliance for. I go out there so much. But anyway, when I went out to the Valley Alliance and I was talking to some folks whose names shall remain nameless, including staff, the things that happen at neighborhood councils are so, people are so disrespectful of each other and really disrespectful of staff. And that really bothered me when I heard some of those stories that was happening at these neighborhood council meetings with the not only the way they treat each other, but the way they treat the staff from Dunn. Now, I complain about Dunn too, right? But I'm not going to be disrespectful and call names and call them out of their names. And I really felt bad about that because they get paid, I guess, to be polite. And I'm glad I'm a volunteer because some of the stuff that I hear that people say to staff, I wouldn't take. And as a volunteer, I don't take it. I wouldn't take it. And I feel bad. And I just think they don't feel like, a lot of neighborhood councils don't feel like they can listen, that they have to listen to staff. Well, if they don't listen to staff, what other authority are they going to listen to do what's right or wrong? And then they start, you know, and I think I mentioned this already. I have a young woman that went through my leadership program. I didn't even know it, and she told me she was running for the board, for a neighborhood council board in the Valley. And she went to a meeting. She wanted to see how it worked, and she went to a meeting, and they were cussing each other out and yelling at each other and telling folks to leave the room, and she was, like, absolutely, like, floored. So I said, well, did you change your mind about running? And so she said, no, there were a group of us who said maybe we can make a change, and we're going to still run. So I said, well, I hope so. You know, we'll see how it works. But so it's that kind of constant. And I know there's got to be a way to deal with it, and maybe the neighborhood councils themselves can input. And I do agree that we should keep it separate. You know, the final censorship obviously has to be separate from training, and I think that conflict resolution should be early training. I mean, as soon as they come in, they should have all that. They should have all the training, including how to do conflict resolution, and they're kind of almost leading to it a little bit with some of the exercises on how to get along with each other. So I do agree. I do agree with that. But we definitely will keep it separate. But at some point in time, bylaws, I think, need to be adjusted so that it's clear to the members how you deal with conflict and what happens when it escalates to beyond repair. I think they have to know. Somewhere they have to know what happens. So that's what we're going to try to work on. We'll try to write something up, and please send me your ideas, and I'll edit it into separate stuff. Okay. All right. We are now on to item number 13. Okay, which is discussion and possible action on bylaws amendment and board structure change for the Sherman Oaks Neighborhood Council. Sherman Oaks Neighborhood Council is requesting to modify their board structure by increasing their total board size from 21 to 23 seats by adding 2 youth seats. The department recommends that the Board of Neighborhood Commissioners, find in favor of the Sherman Oaks. And I think there was some discussion on this item. Did we want to hear from the department first and then, on this issue?
Good evening, Commissioner. Semi Park, Department of Neighborhood Empowerment. First, we want to thank Sherman Oaks Neighborhood Council for continuing to advocate for their youth. I know since they've amended their bylaws back in July, the board has worked with the 2 committee members who currently chair the youth committee, because when they did pass their when the board took action to amend their bylaws to include 2 additional youth seats, it did occur during the bylaw moratorium. So as soon as the bylaw moratorium period lifted in the first of this month, the department coordinated to get the item scheduled so that we can recommend an approval. However, while doing additional research in preparation for tonight's meeting, the department is recommending that we table the matter to allow for additional research to be done with some of the neighbor council reforms that the council has approved. We do have some clarifying questions that we want to sort out before we ask officially for the board to approve their board structure change.
May I?
Okay. Do
you
want to hear? Do you want to hear from my speakers?
I'd like to. Address.
You want to comment now? Yeah. Okay, Commissioner Schaefer.
Don't go away. I assume that you are referring to the recommendations from the City Council Committee with regards to neighborhood councils, one of which has to do with a minimum voting age of 16. I have read through that section. Thank you, Mr. Fong, for letting me look at it. And looking at the sentence, I'll agree with someone here that it's poorly worded. However, it is quite clear that the exception as referred to modifies the age 14, and that is the one seat that may be reserved for somebody 14. It does not affect the 16-year-old. It does not mean only one youth seat. If you look at that sentence structure, it's very clear. It says 16 for board membership and voting. As an exception, there may be one seat for someone who is 14. That is the only exception to that rule. Therefore, I think your concern as to the fact that they're looking at two seats is a non-issue. I do have some other problems, though.
Ultimately, we leave it up to the commission to make the determination on how to move forward. But we, as a department, are seeking some additional clarification and a little more time to sort out the details and clarify. But I am open to hearing the commissioner's comments.
That I read the sentence a couple of times, and I think the plain construction. Yes, it should have been written differently, but the plain construction is that it's an exception for a single seat for 14-year-old, not that it's a single seat for youth. Otherwise, it would have said one youth seat. It didn't. Okay. I do, as I say, I see some other problems.
I'm sorry. I was getting our speakers together. So are we saying it's a non-issue?
Where did you pull that?
No, that's not the council. It's their amendment. Mike's got the council.
So are we talking about one or two?
Well, I've got some problems with the language,
That
they have in their definition.
Okay.
I don't know what, I mean, that is the problem you were looking at, is that language. Perhaps you should read the language so that the rest of the board knows what we're talking about. I think you should listen carefully to this.
Yeah. Are you referring to the council language or the neighborhood council bylaw language?
No. The council, what you're concerned about that came out of the council committee, which hasn't really been adopted yet by the I'm not sure it's been adopted by the, that wasn't a report backer, was it?
I believe the city council adopted the committee's recommendation back in January. And one of the, particularly pertaining to this item, council instructs the department to implement a system-wide minimum voting age and board member age of 16 years, with the exception of up to one youth seat per neighbor council in which the minimum age to vote or hold an office can be as low as 14.
And I am saying that the exception modifies the 14-year-old. It has nothing to do with 16-year-olds.
Right.
And I guess what we would like to see clarification on is, from reading the council instructions, it limits the number of youth seats to a maximum of one.
Absolutely not. The exception is one seat for a person as young as 14, not for the number of youth seats in total. So they could have five youth seats if they wanted to, as long as they were all 16. They could reserve one for a 14-year-old, specifically. Mm-hmm. That would be the exception to the 60. The exception says they've got to be 16, except you could have one seat that could be filled by a 14-year-old. Mm-hmm. You know, some as young, and that's the way it should really read. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it doesn't. But it seems clear to me that that's what it's saying.
So we can definitely move forward with the department's initial recommendation, which is to approve the addition of the two additional youth seats. However, I will just point out, if that is the commission's interpretation and the commission moves feels comfortable moving forward, we would support that as well.
So Mr. Schaefer, my question. So, okay, it says the establishment of or adding two youth seats, but you're saying that one. Would they be adding one 16-year-old, or is that it's already there? I guess is my question. Are they actually adding two new seats?
You know, what we have is two representatives from Sherman Oaks. Maybe they can help illustrate their intention, but...
Okay. All right. Who wants to go first?
Then I'll make a comment.
Thank you. I'm Ron Ziff, President of Sherman Oaks Neighborhood Council. And we respectfully request that this bylaw amendment be approved. It's our desire to hear younger voices. Without two youth members, the average age of our council is in our 50s. We need those younger voices. This would add two youth members to our board. We don't believe this violates any city ordinance. The department's been instructed to create a system-wide minimum age requirement, but it's our request is not in conflict with that. We have no age requirement on these seats. They're not elected seats, they're appointed seats. And we can fill them in any manner that the department wants. But we need to have younger people on the board. We understand that the department is going to implement a system-wide change. And at the time they do, all 99 neighborhood councils are going to have to go back and amend their bylaws. And we're willing to do that along with the other 98 when that happens. Mm-hmm. We understand that. But we would like to move ahead with these two appointed seats and do them in a manner that satisfies the department, the Board of Neighborhood Commissioners, and the City Council, anybody else.
And they might be both 16-year-olds, for that matter.
Yeah.
You got a question, Mr. Schaefer?
No, I don't have a question.
Okay.
Go ahead.
All right. No, he's fine. He said... No questions.
Thank you, Mr. Ziff.
So, Jeffrey, did you want to weigh in?
Good evening, commissioners. It's nice to be here. A packed crowd. Anyway, I do appreciate what you do and try to do. I'm here tonight and speaking in favor of item number 13, I'm somewhat perplexed, but the challenge we have is that the bylaw amendments have been on hold for some reason for over 10 months. We have reached out, we have been working with two representatives that have been on a committee and have been an effective part of our neighborhood council, and we would like to at least move forward in a way that shows and demonstrates that youth actually do make a difference and that they can participate in a more active way. I'm a little, actually, I love it. I got 5 minutes. Anyway, so the request by Dunn for additional research and a little more time, with all due respect, could be months and years. Further, the instruction by the council is to implement a system-wide minimum, and I'm not worried about the ages. The requirements that we have are based upon being in high school and being an honor student, and not an honor student, but a student that both the school and the parents are willing to allow get involved in a more active way. We don't really look at it. We don't discriminate by age. So even more importantly, though, I think that if there is a change, then as Mr. Ziff said, that's going to be applied to everyone. Passing this evening causes no harm to anyone. Well, that isn't true. It causes harm to us and our relationship with our youth members and how they view us and our ability to work through the bureaucratic process and get them to be able to be active participants. If it is passed tonight, then as stated, we will work by those bylaws. And if and when a system-wide program is put into place that details how that will be done, and if there's special wording or whatever it is, then I assume, like the other 98, we won't really have much of a choice. We will have to make our bylaws comply with whatever those requirements are. But there is no harm to anyone if you approve that are the changes that are being for you this evening. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions from?
No questions, but comments.
Or comments, I'm sorry.
Comments.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at this definition of their youth member, and I'm understanding that the city council has adopted Mr. Rue's committee's recommendation. That being the case, there's no need for the department to move forward. The city council is the one that actually defines any stakeholder outside of lives, works, or owns property, which is in the charter, as they have approved the community interest. They have stated there is a minimum age of 16 with an exception for a single seat of someone aged all the way down to 14. Your definition of a youth member is someone who is attending high school with no qualification as to age. Considering that high school starts in the ninth grade, that's around 14 years of age. There is nothing in your definition that reserves a single seat, which means that nobody under 16 who attends that high school could come onto your youth seat. The city council has said so.
That's been passed by city council already?
The city council, yeah, she's right. The city council, except that they sent some back to the department and somebody else for report back, et cetera, but that's not one of them that they sent out for report back. So that would have been adopted. Next, I'm looking at sign permission of the person's parent. What about guardian? I don't see guardian in there. I only see parent. We have many children in LAUSD who live with either a foster or live with a guardian. It could be a grandparent or something else. So we can't do that. Last but not least, I don't see how a school would have the authority, an outside thing like the school, which is not a member of the city family, would have a say in who may or may not be appointed or elected to a neighborhood council board. So those are my real problems with this amendment. I hate to say it. That's why I have a real problem with it, and especially with the school. I think that probably the idea of parent could be corrected to say parent or guardian. That's not a problem. But the real problem is yours does not comport currently with what the city council has said is where we're supposed to be, which is age 16, unless you reserve a single seat for a 14-year-old. And that's one of the biggest problems that we face. That may be why, I don't know whether they were delaying it to wait to see what Councilmember Rue's committee did with all of this or what have you, but the committee did act and the city council has acted. Therefore, this has got to be changed to comport with that. That's the problem. And that's the problem I see. That's the problem I'm commenting on this for the commission. That's the problem that I see with this.
This is Commissioner Atkinson.
Yeah.
Okay. I see your issues. Isn't there a way, it seems to me we've done this in the past, We still want to approve. I mean, I see nothing wrong with approving the fact that they want two new youth seats. Yeah. Can't they be approved upon the condition that the bylaws are amended to fit the municipal code?
We've done that before. Yeah, I think that they.
So could, I mean, we don't have to send it back for.
I think they could put in things such as any person 16 years or older attending a high school within their boundaries, all of that, and then the youth shall have. I don't know why they picked a 2.5. I would suggest maybe a passing grade point, but they said 2.5, and have signed permission of the person's parent or guardian, and strike school, because I don't think the school has any business in saying who can be on the board. We've done that before. I think it's great to bring in two youths, and I'm glad that you figured out that yours is only 50 years of age average. I hate to think of what ours might be at this point, but could we do that?
If the commission chooses to approve the department's original recommendations with the conditions that bylaw language be amended to conform to the council rules, we are happy to apply that so that one youth seat has a minimum voting or eligibility age of 14 and then another one at 16.
We'd have to find out if that's what they want, or if they just want to have right now two 16-year-olds. Maybe they'll amend it at a different time, but I could go with either one myself.
Go to the podium, please.
Go to the microphone.
I see no objection to changing the language to comport with the city ordinances as far as taking the school out of that and putting a guardian in. That's a simple change in language, and it doesn't really affect the thrust of what we're doing. As far as whether both seats are for 16-year-olds or one for 16 and one for 14, I'd appreciate if we could leave that up to the board at their option. No, we got to decide tonight.
Yeah, I would say that you've got to decide tonight, because that's the only way we can pass the motion. If you wanted to say that that you would reserve one seat for someone as young as 14, that doesn't mean you have to appoint a 14-year-old. It only means that one seat could go that low.
Fine, let's do that. And well, we'll just have to go back and change the language to read the way that you've stated.
No, we can pass the findings tonight, the motion tonight to okay two youth seats for the neighborhood council, on the condition that the bylaws are amended to fit the law. So it wouldn't be delayed. Jeffrey, did you want to say something?
Okay, go ahead.
I appreciate your willingness to consider that kind of an adjustment. My question has to do with, in as much as there has been no action by the city in a constructive way to implement 1C, the instruction implemented system-wide, you are placing that burden on our neighborhood council without placing it on any of the other 98. I'm saying that we're perfectly willing to comply with whatever that is when whatever that is defined. But to place that burden on us today without, I mean, we can go down through a whole two-page list of things that haven't been acted on and are being forced on this one neighborhood council. And to me, that isn't a very equitable way to approach this. We've certainly given our willingness to change to whatever that magical statement will be in the future, but it seems somewhat interesting that the Department of Neighborhood Empowerment would climb up this hill and do something to one neighborhood council when they haven't been willing to do it to all 99. Anyway, I appreciate your willingness to consider it in its amended forms. Thank you.
I have one more question, Mr. Schaefer. So under the new law being suggested by Mr. Rubin's committee and City Council, do you have to have a seat for a 14-year-old, or they're just making room for you to have a seat for
it? It says an exception to the 16-year-old is a single seat as young as 14.
Okay. So.
Right. So you could have five seats for youth.
Yeah.
But if you're going to have somebody less than 16, only one of those five seats could be for somebody less than 16.
So,
that would be the
exception. So at some point in time, probably, you know, there will be a system-wide system for all the neighborhood councils. And I understand you're saying, well, the burden is being put on you right now. But it's really not a burden. You might go appoint two 16-year-olds and be just doing the same thing you planned on doing before you came in here tonight. I mean, I don't see it as a burden. I see you as being ahead of the game, because Mr. Schaefer brought it up with his attorney self to make it very clear on what the law is going to be. And when the system does change, you'll already be changed. And it shouldn't affect you, I don't think. It'd be more in a positive way that it affects you, because while 98 are going to have to go and probably change their rules when the whole ordinance becomes effective, you'll be ahead of the game. I can't see the burden. I'm trying to see the burden, and we were trying to make it easy tonight so that you could go ahead and pass it, so that you could get your two youth members. That's mainly what I think is the most important thing at this point in time, and what the rules are in the future is, you know,
Ms. Atkinson,
will work out.
And Mr. Schaefer, I'd like to just make one comment on the side. I'm 82 years old, almost 83. I want these youth members on the board. I want to hear them. Please do this.
I know what you mean.
I'm not far behind you.
Okay.
I'm writing up some language if I could.
Okay. But can we I can entertain a motion to accept the department's recommendation that Sherman Oaks Neighborhood Council add two youth seats, but with the condition that the bylaws are amended to fit the ordinance.
Could I put forward those? It's not an ordinance. It's a city council resolution.
Resolution? Yeah. Oh, okay.
If I might put out some language.
You mean it's
not
a law?
The language on what?
Yeah. Let me. If I can put out some language, what I would suggest is, in the first sentence after the term section one, that it says who is at least 16 years of age, except a single seat may be allocated to a youth YM who is 14 or more years of age, with a period at that point. Now this I know that's not, that would be Dunn's language. Now, with regards to the last sentence, where it comes to from the person's parents, it would say from the person's parent, singular, unless you want both mother and father to sign for them, if they have, okay. I would say, well, put down parents or guardian. No, they're different. Legally, it's different.
Could we say a parent or a guardian?
It could say a parent, a person, from the. Yeah. Well, okay. Sign permission. And you don't even have to put down persons. I think it's quite clear if you just said permission from a parent. Period. Striking school. A parent or guardian, excuse me.
Should make a legal guardian name.
Legal guardian? Okay. We've just had some advice. Legal guardian.
Oh, you said that earlier.
You know, I have a problem with that.
Legal guardian?
I have a problem with legal guardian because I'm looking at some of the situation of school children today who are homeless and they're living with somebody who's taking care of them. While that may not be a legal situation, they are a guardian. They do have certain responsibilities. I don't know. Because legal guardian means you've had court action and everything else. I'm going to leave it at guardian. I'm going to leave just the word guardian in. Yeah, I'm going to leave that. I'm going to leave the word guardian in. I've seen families where an older child has had to take over for parents who are both incarcerated or something like that, and in terms of what they're doing, they're a guardian. If that's acceptable to the rest of the commission, I would put that forward as part of the motion.
All right.
If I might?
You may.
Okay. Where'd we go? Okay. I would move as follows. Find that with the offered amending language, the Sherman Oaks Neighborhood Council's request to change their board structure is consistent with the principles governing a certified neighborhood council. Well, wait a minute. We need more than that. I would move that the amendment to the Sherman Oaks Neighborhood Council's defining a youth stakeholder member and assigning two seats on the board to increase the board membership, and assigning two seats on the board to youth member, increasing the board membership from 21 to 23 members with the amended language as offered be approved, and further that we find that the Sherman Oaks Neighborhood Council's request to change their board structure is consistent with the principles governing a certified neighborhood council's purpose and operation per Article 6, Section 3C of the plan for a citywide system of neighborhood councils, and with the amendments, approve the change to the Sherman Oaks Neighborhood Council's bylaws.
A second?
I'll second.
This case has been moved by Mr. Schaefer and seconded by Mr. Lipman to accept the findings to approve the Sherman Oaks Neighborhood Council's request to increase their seats from 21 to 23 members with amendments to the conditions. Any questions? All in favor, please say aye.
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 Aye. Appears to be unanimous. Thank you very much.
Thanks for coming all the way out here.
Thanks for coming out and staying for the whole time. Appreciate it. Okay.
See you Thursday.
Number 14 on the item. Anybody have anything to say? A commission business? I only have one little piece of good news from Mr. Regalado's area. He didn't know. The Harbor Gateway North Neighborhood Council, their president is leaving, Pamela Thornton, and she took my leadership class at the University of Southern California, and she graduated last week.
Actually, I saw that.
And we took a picture and put it in, they put it in their, on their website and everything, and she's a fabulous person, and she was a great president, and you all are going to miss her. I know. So that was my good news, that she went through the program. Anybody have anything to add on item number 14 on commission business?
Yeah, Commissioner Lipman, I would just add two things. One is at the interview that we did with Hal Eisner for the Imparale elections, the folks from Tree People were there, and the founder, Andy Lipkus, and he was talking about how trees – thrive when there are people engaged with their maintenance and taking care of them. And he really thinks that there's an opportunity to partner with neighborhood councils in the same way that we've, you know, looked at homelessness and housing and other issues to kind of have a tree advocate on each neighborhood council. And, you know, and Gracie mentioned it as an opportunity as well, because we have a real kind of challenge with like there's a department that is in charge of urban forestry, mm-hmm. And there's been a lot of concerns with the removal of trees, and so it might actually be an opportunity to work with a really great nonprofit whose mission is to protect and increase the number of trees. The mayor's office, who included in its recent State of the City and in the Green New Deal, an effort to increase trees in the city, and this bureau or department in charge of urban forestry, to look at how neighborhood councils can play a stronger role in maintaining trees in their neighborhood. So just wanted to throw that out there to see if anybody is, maybe it's something that we can agendize at a future meeting, and maybe have Andy come in and talk a little bit more. And then the other cool partnership opportunity, I think I invited Joy to come and speak to a group of leaders in Slate Z, which is the South Los Angeles Transit Empowerment Zone, about connecting neighborhood councils with some of the investments that are coming into South Los Angeles from, you know, the $35 million the Strategic Growth Council is investing in Watts, to the hundreds of millions of dollars being invested in the Slauson Corridor by Metro on the rail to river project. Well, actually, I guess it's like $60 million. It's a lot of money. As well as a real focus on South LA in terms of Vision Zero, because a vast majority of the deaths, traffic collisions, happen disproportionately in South LA. And so, you know, how do we talk about transportation investments at a community level in a way that the community feels as if they're part of the solution and not part of the problem, I think is really a clear opportunity. And so I think it's kind of good to see that that nonprofits and government agencies are seeing the neighborhood councils as an opportunity to engage with the community in a constructive way, and as the community outlet in a constructive way. That's it.
Short comment?
Yes.
In a line with the first comment that Commissioner Lippman made, I think that neighborhood councils can join in that. I'm happy to say that Tarzana Neighborhood Council has invested a number of thousands of dollars in keeping new trees watered for 3 years. There's a, I can't remember which group from the city you can contract with that will do it. I believe it's out of urban forestry. And
city
plan. Yeah. And the council member got the trees, and we're paying for the watering, and it's going to cost a total of about $30,000 by the time the 3 years are done. But those trees on Ventura Boulevard are going to grow, and they're going to thrive, and they promise to replace any of them that die. So,
well, that's good.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Yes.
You know, sorry.
That's okay.
Just to add on to your point, as our climate gets warmer, and as our population ages, tree cover is actually a critical component to having cooler cities. And, you know, when we have a heat wave, what typically happens is we see people dying, particularly folks who are older, because they don't have enough. They aren't cooling their house, or they don't have a place where they can go where it's cool. And so having tree cover is actually a great way to mitigate the impacts of of warming climate, particularly in an urban environment where heat is a problem. So it's good that we're encouraging more tree use because it'll mean hopefully less deaths.
I have trees in my backyard.
There you go. Go sit under them. So.
Commissioner Vaux-Ramirez.
Commissioner Vaux-Ramirez, I had the opportunity to spend the last two Saturdays visiting all but one neighborhood council election. So from region one and two, I believe there were eight on April 27th and five on May 4th. As unique as each neighborhood council was, I have to commend the department and the city clerk's office for an outstanding setup of all the election sites, whether it be at Sunland and Tahunga, where I think there was over 1,000 voters. I've never been to an election where there was actually traffic control with parking attendants, so that was quite interesting, coming in and having an attendant tell me where to park, which I believe was a city clerk representative. And then going to North Hills East, where the election was actually in the parking lot of the Vallarta supermarket. So with all the challenges and hoping to advocate for neighborhood councils and increasing empowerment and participation, I have to say I was impressed with the setup and appreciate what the department did and what the city clerk's office did. It was tremendous effort. Without taking away from anybody, I know we could still use additional participation. There were some neighborhood councils where I think the most votes or voters they had was about 40, which does concern me when you're representing, you know, 50,000 community members. It is a bit concerning. But I do want to thank you and extend my appreciation for the effort with the department and the city clerk's office for what you did for the elections. That's big. So hopefully we'll have new members.
Great.
I did have one more comment, if I may. If no one else has one, may I?
Mr. Regalado?
Schaefer.
Commissioner Schaefer.
Schaefer.
Yeah.
Okay,
in Commissioner Vaux-Ramirez's area, a friend, one Pat Kramer, who is now going to be a former board member of Sunland Tahunga, she didn't run, was named Woman of the Year, Sunland Tahunga, by Congress member Adam Schiff, and was honored that way. So one of our neighborhood council board members received that honor last month.
So Sunland Tahunga already had their election?
Mm-hmm.
I have a
quick
comment. Commissioner Regalado, currently there is a public accessibility funds available to communities that are bordered or that surround the harbor. And we, as a partnership of all neighborhood councils that have access to the harbor, we are actually kind of, it may sound a little bit odd, but we're actually cutting new ground by participating together in partnership with Wilmington and the three neighborhood councils in San Pedro, working together to gather projects for the port so that they can spend this amount of money that actually fluctuates. So we'll land on a number eventually, but to be able to have an agreement between the San Pedro Neighborhood Councils to support all the projects in Wilmington and vice versa, Wilmington supporting the projects in San Pedro.
The Los Angeles port, the port of LA.
It's a little, I would have to say in the time that I've been with the neighborhood councils for the past 7 years, of which I've been president for six, it's been kind of a challenge to get partnerships between the two communities. Yeah. And it's kind of sad, but in this particular case, we have come together to make sure that we are supporting these projects, and the fact that we're trying to get the port to understand that an equitable amount of money be reserved for Wilmington and San Pedro, mm-hmm. so that one doesn't say one got an advantage over the other. That's going to be a challenge because projects are already, they already have projects in mind, but we're going to try to influence what projects we feel are important to the community. And we have been taking community input as to what projects are important to the community, and then we'll prioritize and submit it to the port as a group of neighborhood councils.
Wow.
So it's really cutting edge.
I don't want to boast, but the CFO of the Long Beach, of the Los Angeles Harbor, is a graduate of my program.
Oh.
Carla Blevins, if you need any help and you want to get with the head person, let me know. Maybe we can talk about some stuff. But I'm really proud of her. She came to our program many years ago and worked for the Department of Finance, went to the convention center, and the next thing we know, big press thing, she's now the CFO of the Los Angeles Harbor. So, and does diversity and all kinds of stuff, so she would be into community redevelopment and programs and stuff like that. So,
that's awesome.
Yeah, so let me know. You know, that's a networking thing, so let me know.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
President Atkinson.
Yeah, I was impressed to know that she was doing that. I'm waiting for my boat ride around the harbor.
Those are fun.
All right, anything else? Okay, I'll take a motion for adjournment.
So move.
All second. Right, second. It's been moved and seconded for adjournment. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. So who won the presidency of the summer?